All right, if you're there in Matthew chapter 2, we'll start in verse 13 in just a moment. We started off the month of December talking about community, about having a Christ community. And we talked about the fact that the Lord, he designed it, then he demanded it, and then he developed it. And we talked about those three studies. We kind of blended that in with the birth of Christ. And really, if we want to have a Christ community, it's got to include the Lord. It's always the hope of the pastor that when the message is given that people hold on to it and then they respond to it. It doesn't always happen, but you hope for that. You give a message, you give truth, you share scripture, you share the things that God's put into your heart, and then it's just a matter of the people responding, and people respond differently, and it's never a twisting of arms. It would never, and I would never want it to be that way. But I hope that everybody's on the same page with this. This is the vision the Lord's given to us about having a community. We've seen 2020 just blow up and separate people, and we're praying that the Lord would bring our community here together. And so we'll be continuing to talk about this. But with that, with the move of the Lord, you have to understand there's always going to be warfare. There's always going to be an attack. It's an absolute certainty. And the warfare that we wage and that we face is going to be spiritual. And the enemy is real, and we've talked about this on our Wednesday nights. But the chances for the occurrence of spiritual warfare, whenever you step out and follow the Lord, is 100%. It's going to happen. And so Jesus said when he was on earth, he says, I'm hated, I'm persecuted in this world, and you will as well. In John chapter 15, he told us that. He said, you should expect that. And so a couple of years ago, we started this GROW model for ministry, and what we experienced was intense warfare. And I would say it mostly hit the spiritual, the leadership here in our church. And it was brutal. And so when you go through something in life, especially when it's painful, you speak about things in a different way. You speak passionately and you speak confidently. And so whenever I want to talk about this, about the next move that we're making as a church, I'm threading this in a lot. Be prepared for warfare. You do yourself a favor to listen to the word today, to hold it into your heart, and then to be aware that if you step out in faith with anything that the Lord is doing in your life, you're going to experience some warfare, and you got to be ready for it. So this area that we're studying about today is absolutely needed because we will be met with warfare. There's two points I'm going to talk about today. One is the hostilities against the king, King Jesus. That's in verses 13 through 18. And then the humility of our Lord. And that's verses 19 through 23. But if you're taking notes, if you like outlines, I'll give it to you real quick how we're going to go through this. This first part, verses 13 through 18, it's we're going to look for the direction. We're going to launch. That's in verse 13. We're going to launch for the destination, verses 14 and 15. The beginning of verse 16 talks about living through the deception, and then the second half of verse 16 through 18 is lamenting in the determination. So if you're there, follow along. I'm going to read verse 13, and we'll just take a little bit of time, but be prepared. Listen closely. Pay attention. Hold fast, the Bible says. Hold fast. You test all things, and you hold fast to that which is good, because there's going to be warfare, and there's going to be a battle that you will wage when you step out in the Lord. Look at verse 13. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, that's Jesus Christ, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Last week, we talked about the gifts, what Christ gives at the first Christmas. And now, as we were studying, we saw the development of this plot where Herod, who was a king, he found out there's a baby Jesus, and he's going to be called the King of the Jews, and he didn't like it. And he was jealous. He's very full of himself. And so he sought to find out where the baby would be so that he could kill him. And the wise men, as you know the story, the wise men came in and the Lord told them, don't go back the way you came. Don't go back through Jerusalem. Don't go back through Judah where Herod was. Go a different route. So there's something very interesting, something very important, an aspect I want to draw out through all this today is that there was an assassination attempt against the Lord Jesus. Whenever there's a new birth that is going to take place, church, there's going to be an assassination attempt. I'm a pretty serious guy, so I try to smile a little bit because I feel like this is a pretty serious message, but I want to be clear. I hope you can take it with joy. Let me ask you a very pertinent question. When was the last time that the Lord birthed a new work in your life? How long has it been since the Lord did a new work in your life? I hope that this year, 2021, is a new work season for us. But you have to understand, whenever there's a new birth of Jesus Christ, there's going to be an assassination attempt. And the devil wants to get it when it's young and when it's early, rather than letting it grow. Because as it grows, it gets stronger, right? So this is a really neat passage to teach you, because it really tells us, what do? Well, you look for a direction, right? That's what we're doing. We're looking for a direction. It's the Holy Spirit who's coming and he's speaking to us. Hey, you got to be ready, because there's Herod. He's coming after you. That's the message today. Are you ready for that? If you're going to get a new work of the Lord, if God's going to do a brand new work in your life in 2021, you need to be looking for a direction. That's the first thing you do in verse 13. How do you handle the spiritual warfare when your lives are at risk? And listen, I recognize sometimes I'm speaking at a personal level, things that I understand. Maybe you don't totally understand this, but when you see your kids go through warfare, when you see your loved ones, when you see your marriage, when you see your leadership, when you see people that you are close to, when you see them get attacked, like it's different. It hits home differently. So how do you handle the spiritual warfare? Because it's real. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. It's not like we're wrestling with one another. We're wrestling in a spiritual realm. How did God choose to handle this death threat? Look at verses 14 to 15. You got to launch for the destination. You have to understand that with the warfare, there's a destination that the Lord wants you to take. With the Lord Jesus, there was a particular destination that God wanted Joseph to take. Joseph was his stepfather, right? So look at verse 14. It says this. And when he arose, when Joseph arose, right? He was in a dream. Are you guys with me? He was in a dream. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed for Egypt. When did Joseph take his family? Immediately. I feel like I could fly through this whole study very, very quickly and just give you these bullet points, but they're so rich. Listen, Joseph, as soon as God told him, listen, Herod's seeking the young child's life, as soon as this happened, he responds immediately. It says, when he arose, as soon as he woke up from his dream, it says he took the young child and his mother by night. I mean, he didn't even wait till the morning. He didn't wait till noon. He's talking about, you get what you need and we're gone. Listen, when there's warfare that's going to come against you, it would be wise for you and me to respond immediately. As soon as you wake up, as soon as you get that message, you respond and you move forward. Listen, I want you to understand this, that this passage very truly, very clearly depicts that this assassination attempt, this warfare is coming against Jesus when he's about a two-year-old baby. But you know that it was a warfare not just against him, but against all of humanity, against you and against me. Because if the devil could kill off Jesus before he lived a perfect life, before he died for the sins of the world, then you and I wouldn't have a way to get to heaven. The gospel message would be done. So it's an attack. Listen, let me thread this in. Listen, when God gives you a new work, church, listen closely. When God gives you a new work, when he's birthing something new inside of you, it's not just for you only. And the warfare is not just against you. Because God has specifically, strategically, sovereignly, with all of his understanding, which is perfect, without error, he has placed you specifically in your family at this time, in this city. Like everything is just absolutely orchestrated by the Lord. He's phenomenal in how he does that. And so if you fall into warfare, and I feel like I can speak from experience, there's a lull for me in the last couple years. I feel like I was exactly where I was supposed to be. I feel like the warfare was so intense. And I feel like there were missed opportunities. And it's a robbery for me, but it's a robbery for people that are around me. Do you recognize that? And listen, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not really that gifted, or, you know, maybe you don't play the guitar or play the piano or can't teach the Bible. Listen, God has uniquely gifted you and who you are with your personality, with your history. And he speaks directly to you. That's the way that this works. That's what he says in his scripture. So he doesn't just want it for you. He wants it for the world. The attacks that come against you, it's not just for you. It's for the people that are around you. You have to understand that when you take this. It goes far beyond you. So if the death of Jesus as a little tiny baby had taken place, it would impact me for all of eternity. And it would impact you for all of eternity. So when we place our efforts to establish this community, there's going to be warfare, and it's not just going to impact us. You see, a community, what we do, we grab everybody. You know what you do here? You grab people. You bring them in. That's what we're doing in 2021. We're going to grab each other. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to bring people close. We're going to meet needs. We'll share more about how this will all roll out. But we're a community. We're a family. This is a church family. And then what you do, it's not just here, but then it's out there. And if you get toppled by spiritual warfare, your reach is going to be limited. And we don't want that. We want to cultivate a Christ community culture here in our fellowship. And we need to have lives that are building the bonds of the body of Christ and bringing those in the outside in. So listen, this is neat stuff here. I love the word of God. So where is Joseph told to take his family here in verse 14? He arose, right? He was told, and he arose. He took the young child and his mother, Mary, by night, and they departed for what? Egypt. Egypt, it's so important you to understand what this means. Egypt's a type of the world. God takes his children out of Egypt. He takes them into the promised land. It's a type within the typology. We're all in the world, but God saves us out. He delivers us out of the world. And then we go into the promised land, and we live the fullness of what God would have for us to live as Christians. So I want you to understand this. What Jesus is doing is he is being sent into the world, even though he's not of the world, and he will be brought out of the world. Are you guys with me? So that he can save the world. He's not from the world, but he's going into the world, and he's going to be taken out of the world in this passage so that he can save the world. The vision needs to be caught. Look at verse 15. It says, and they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. This word fulfilled, it's the Greek word pleroo. It means to be complete. It's a prophecy that's being fulfilled. In context, it's as if it is saying that this event is now closing a chapter that about a little bit more than 700 years earlier, Hosea had prophesied this prophecy. In Hosea 11:1, he said, out of Egypt I'm calling my son. I'm pulling my son out of Egypt. So almost 750 years later, we see that this is being fulfilled. So God lays these prophecies, and then he closes the chapter and says, that's done, that's fulfilled, it's complete. And only God does that. And we serve a God that is a prophetic God. He tells things as though they're happening, as though they have, in a way that we think they haven't even happened yet. But they will, and they happen with absolute certainty. So we go on to the beginning of verse 16, and we see that we need to live through the deception. There's things that happen around us. People get deceived. We have to learn how to live through that. Look at the beginning of verse 16. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry. Listen, he's a king. He's used to not being lied to. You don't dupe the king. If you dupe the king, you get your head cut off. So he's not used to being lied to. He was pretty mad. The wise men, they said, we're going to obey God rather than men. They wisely did that. And then it says here, he was exceedingly angry. It means he was burning with rage. What would follow is that Herod would make a decree that all babies, all male babies, 2 years and younger, were to be put to death. Mass infanticide. This has also been called Bethlehem's Holocaust. Thousands and thousands and thousands of babies were murdered. it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, there are people who will say moral absolutes. Well, that's right for you, but it's not right for me. Listen, in every culture values a baby's life. Without fail, all throughout history, you protect. That's what we're, it's innate. It comes out of us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to protect the babies. And so, this is one of those things when you think about Bethlehem having a Holocaust, that all these babies had were put to death. This is horrific. Now look at the rest of verse 16 through 18. There's a lamentation that's taking place over this determination. What does Herod determine? He determines to put all the babies to death. And he says in verse 16, he goes on and says, he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This is a prophecy that's coming. Same word for fulfilled, pleroo, same context and everything. It's a word that was prophesied from Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 15. The difference for me, at least, from this passage in Jeremiah 15, it's with the angle of sharing that there's hope. And I think we need to understand that because I think it comes into this passage. There has to be hope. And our hope is Jesus Christ. There's no better message to share than that a person must accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior to go to heaven. There's no gray area on this. This is very black and white. It's very definitive. So that's verses 13 through 18. Now we'll look at verses 19 through 23. This is the humility of the king. Look at verse 19. We have to trust the Lord. How do you embrace the humility of the Lord? You got to trust him. Verse 19 says this. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Herod died in about 4 BC. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, he wrote that a few months after Herod's despicable act of bringing judgment upon all these babies, that the Lord dealt with this tyrant. It says that he contracted a fever as well as some other symptoms. Here's a quote from Josephus. I want you to just kind of visualize this and picture this. This is what Herod says, I want all the babies killed. And how does the Lord respond? Because you have to understand the Lord does respond at times. And sometimes he gets angry with people. And if you're in a place of leadership and you're making some decisions, God takes it really seriously. So Josephus writes this and he says, infection seized his whole body. There was a gentle fever upon him and an intolerable itching over the surface, all the surface of his body, continual pains in his colon, tumors on his feet, and an inflammation in his abdomen, and a putrefaction of his private parts that produced worms. I could tell from some of the responses, you guys are grasping what I'm saying. Listen, all men would agree, you don't want a putrefaction of privacy parts producing worms, right? That's a horrifying thought. Herod got what he deserved. That's what he deserved. He died either from kidney disease, or it was coupled with gangrene, like possibly a venereal disease. And he was buried in a place that was outside Bethlehem in a hill known as the Herodium. What is interesting is that a group of archaeologists, they found Herod's tomb on the Herodium in the exact location that was pinpointed by Josephus 2,000 years earlier. Just another fact that's prophesied and comes to pass. So what we do is when we want to learn to be like the Lord and be humble, we need to just trust him. He's going to work things out. And then he's going to speak to us. The rest of verse 19 says that, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Joseph again receives communication through a dream. I wonder if Joseph was thinking, I don't know if I should go to sleep, right? Every time I go to sleep, I get a dream and God speaks to me. Maybe he was happy about it. Look at verse 20. It says, we need to be attentive to the Lord, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Listen, if you're grasping the point, when there's a new birth that's being done, if you're on board with that, if you're catching the vision with that, if you're stepping out in faith, if 2021 is a year that you're going to be doing some new things, if God is stirring your heart right now, we've already established there's going to be warfare. But at a certain point, those who come against you will be dealt with, will be taken care of. You and I have to learn the value to being attentive to the Lord. You and I have to learn the value of waiting it out. It says, this phrase right here, I don't have it underlined. I need to underline this in my Bible. Verse 20, the last phrase of it says, "For those who sought the young child's life are dead." This is the way that warfare works, church. Those who seek your life, they'll die off. Listen, don't worry about the people who criticize you. Don't worry about the people who come and slander you, who try and tear you down, who try and stop you from doing what the Lord's called you to do. You just keep going forward, because at a certain point, they're going to die off. If you're taking notes, you might want to write down Exodus chapter 4, verse 19. Moses was being commanded to go and deliver his people out of Egypt, right? We've talked about this a little bit. And he's throwing up all these excuses. Well, what about this? I'm not an eloquent man. What about, are they going to believe me? How are they going to trust me? Well, throw down your stick. And it turns to a snake and he picks it back up. At a certain point, the Lord ministers to him in Exodus 4:19, and the Lord says to him, "Go and return to Egypt," because remember, he had killed an Egyptian and he was a Jew and would be put to death because of that. And Pharaoh sought to kill him, so he fled. Went to Midian, got married, had kids. So God's saying, listen, I want you to go back. And so the Lord says to him in Midian, he says, "Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." So when you step out in faith, and when there's this warfare that's coming against you, just wait. And at a certain point, they'll die off. If somebody has ill intent for you as you're stepping out in faith, listen, it'll be like a rust inside them. It'll just eat them up. So it's very important you just would continue stepping out in faith and walking with the Lord, because those who would seek to destroy the work that God's doing in your life, or your life even, they'll eventually just die off. Verse 21, be obedient to the Lord. It says, "Then he arose, he took the young child and his mother, and he came into the land of Israel." Again, we're talking about Joseph, and there just is that immediate obedience. That's something that we need to practice, and I want to challenge you with that. God tells you to do something, and you just obey him. One of my greatest challenges that some of you are a little more familiar with than others is that when I drive, like, God will convict me of my speed that I'm driving, and I need to be immediate. That's like one of the easiest places where the Lord will say, "You really should slow down, Robert." And I don't always slow down, right? That's a good way for me to, whenever I think of immediate obedience, that's one of the easiest words. Just take your foot off the gas, slow down to the right speed, right? We'll end our study with verses 22 and 23. We need to be flexible with the Lord. Look at verse 22. It says, "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid." Joseph was afraid to go there. "And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee." So Herod had three sons, Archelaus, Antipas, and Philip. Archelaus was the most ruthless of the three. Archelaus killed 3,000 Pharisees in the temple at one time. And so when he heard that he was ruling, he says, "Uh-oh, this is bad news. I'm afraid to go back." And the Lord says, "I'm going to come to you in a dream. I'm going to tell you, go ahead and go into the area of Galilee." And it's for a specific purpose, that things would be fulfilled. Look at verse 23. It says, "And he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." So Nazareth means sprout town or bean town. It talks about something branching forth and stemming forth. In Isaiah 11:1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." The word here for branch is netzer, which means to sprout. In this culture, they would understand this, because we hear Nazareth, we just sang Christmas songs about Nazareth and Bethlehem. And if you called somebody a Nazarene, that they were from Nazareth, it would be a term of contempt. It'd be a slanderous way of saying something. So Jesus was despised, and he was humbled so he could relate to us, and that it would be fulfilled in prophecies like Psalm 22, 6 through 8, where it says he would be despised by people. Isaiah 53, 3 says that he was despised. So he's fulfilling these prophecies. And he does it so he could relate to us. So you know that there's a God who, when you go through warfare, he's going to be able to relate to you in a special way. Again, John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So be prepared, church. Just a couple of takeaways. I would say expect and prepare for the warfare, and then also embrace and pursue the Lord in humility. That's what we need to do. Let's pray.